cool.
What a great song. A little bit of U2. New Year's Day. Episode 033. It is not New Year's Day currently. This is the New Year's Day, right?
We're about a month in.
Just about 3-4 weeks after the first of the year. We wanted to tee up this song, Shane, because it's talking about New Year's Day.
Right.
And we love U2. U2 is especially my... I could listen to all the albums right up through Joshua Tree right in a row.
Yeah.
One of the things, I don't know if you remember, years ago I took my my daughter Scarlett on an epic road trip. Took her to a thing I was doing. It was actually with Greg Cleary. A shout out to Greg Cleary, the best sales teacher on the planet. If you want to learn about sales, if you want to learn about Pinnacle, you can talk to Greg Cleary.
Right.
But anyways, going to a sales mastery training of his, and I took Scarlett with me, and we drove to Minneapolis and back, which is kind of 2 days each way.
That's
more
of a haul.
Yeah. And what we did on the way there and back is we just listened to, we started at the beginning of U2's chronology or
catalog.
Catalog. There you go.
Yeah.
And we just listened in chronological order.
That's really awesome.
And to the whole thing.
I did that with Genesis on a road trip one time.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think we got through it. I mean, we, you know, stopped listening different times, but but this is, I think this is their second or third album. Can't remember. I think this is War. But love you too. So we're talking about the year, last year, New Year's, this year. We've been talking about...
That about covers it.
Hacks, approaches, tips, tricks, principles around closing out a year as an organization and setting up the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode, we talked about doing the numbers. Well, we talked about AAR in 32. And then 31, we talked about doing the numbers with Tim Campbell. And those are both really good reviews from specific angles on the year. But we're going to add two more. I think we promised in the last episode we would talk about Hall of Fame and Broken to Smoking.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do today. So speaking of smoking, you've got your pipe loaded up with some good stuff. I smelled it. It smells great. What do you got?
It's a... some sort of maple tobacco. I can't remember what it's called.
I smell the maple.
Yeah.
Not sure how this translates audio-wise to you audio listeners, but I'm firing up a Drew Estates Java Maduro, I think it's called.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites.
This tobacco is called Autumn Evening.
Autumn Evening.
By Cornell and Deal. And it's very... it's a nice and tasty.
You know, I mean, what if they named it like Following an Old Bus? Right?
I've had tobacco like that.
Diesel exhaust.
Diesel fuel.
Yeah. A bad burn pile. the garage is on fire.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those would be names that people should not name their tobacco.
Burning River.
Yeah.
Well, that's a local. Right. That's a local.
Way back.
Right? Yeah.
Well, so putting a bow on the year is kind of what we're calling this episode. And we're talking about more ways to that are super important to put the bow on the year. And I want to talk with at the beginning here about why it matters.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's a lot of pain. There are pain points here that these tools or these processes really solve. One of the pain points is we are constantly, as businesses, and I'm going to talk about this as a business leader, organizational leader, and you know, it's the context of our podcast anyway, I suppose, but as a business leader and organizational leader, it's really hard to exit from the present, I would argue impossible because we're welded into the present.
Right.
Which is great. I don't want to ever exit the present. I will someday, you know, by leaving
the
planet, right? I mean,
we all do at some point.
But the trick is to be in the present while simultaneously taking some time to be very objective and comprehensive, maybe be able to kind of get out of the organization and walk all the way around it and see it from multiple angles.
It's hard to do.
It is hard to do. It's very hard to do. It's hard to do as a family. It's hard to do as an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you look at your life and say, well, how am I doing? You know, and what we tend to do is go, well, how am I feeling right now?
I was just going to say that.
Right? Like, what's going on right now?
Right.
And so I call that, you know, I don't know, somebody else probably has called this, but it's just the tyranny of the urgent, you know, as in right now is... right now is the most important thing to us because it's what we feel, see, sense, experience, and it's just overwhelming our processor.
Yeah.
However, we need to kind of go, well, right now is going to add up to what eventually? And right now is the sum of some other right nows that were just in our rearview mirror
right.
a ways back. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the pain points, these tools here that we've been talking about last few episodes solve. Right, in the moment kind of keeps us blind. You know, we have a really hard time seeing the truth of the past and seeing the truth of what right now is going to become. Right now is going to become the past. You know, this isn't rocket science, but we tend to forget that. So the moment, the tyranny of the urgent, the tyranny of the moment keeps us really blind mm-hmm. to what we were doing in the moment 6 months ago or 9 months ago or 3 months ago, et cetera. So that's one of the things we're trying to solve with these tools. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen that in your life and in your business and in your family, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So we're always dealing with pain. You know, we're always dealing with what is currently hurting us or annoying us or troubling us or
right.
kind of creating that discomfort. Also, it's really hard to see progress. We're so day-to-day, moment-to-moment, that it's very difficult to say, well, have we improved in the last 6 months? Have we gotten better? Are the strategies we've implemented working? We were there. Well, now where are we? And in the moment, Terry, kind of even season to season, it's really hard to tell if we've progressed. So that's one of the pains we're trying to solve with these tools. That these tools do solve. This is not theoretical. By the way, these right. are all practical tools. Mm-hmm. That I mean, you know, you've seen us do this, but practical tools that we use on our clients, that our clients use, that we help them figure out how to use.
Right.
As we guide them to their land of awesome. So we have a really hard time, and I said this a little earlier, seeing the whole organization, seeing the whole business. And I guess I would call this, I think this is the right way to describe it. We have a hard time having a comprehensive view. Is that the right word? Comprehensive? Like the yes, whole thing?
It is.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Can you look that up? Comprehensive?
You just said it.
All right. There it is. Yeah, I'd love to.
I'll look it up. Give me a second. See here. You keep talking while I look it up.
What the actual word means. I think, I don't want to use it wrong, but, you know, I guess also going along with that objectivity, you know, seeing things from the outside in, seeing things without emotion, or just seeing things for the truth or the fact of them, mm-hmm. right? That's how I would use the word objective. And we're trying to do that in these coming tools and the tools we used in the last couple sessions, couple episodes. So what do you got? Comprehensive.
Well, first of all, I had to find the internet.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Is it out there?
I thought it was. But
come on, Hal.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm
sorry, Dave, but I cannot tell you the meaning of
comprehensive. Open the bay door. Great allusion to, 2001 Space Odyssey, right?
That's a great... That's
and
great.
In the current season, you know, that movie might have been about 22 years early. No, when did they do the movie? In the 80s? 70s? 70-something?
It was late.
It was about 2001.
Yeah, it was in the 70s. Yeah. But, yeah, we are nowhere near where they thought we were going to be.
Yeah.
Or did I say that right?
Well, it seems like...
I did. Yeah. Are you ready for a definition?
I am.
All right.
So this is comprehensive, right?
Yeah. Let's see here. Complete, including all or nearly all elements or aspects of something. There's an older definition relating to understanding. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, comprehend.
Yes.
Okay. That's great. I'm writing those down.
Yeah, so that's in primary edition, you know, complete, including all or nearly elements.
Hmm. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and that's what we're trying to do with this exercise. Well, even kind of backing up, not just this exercise, it's really important as an organization to occasionally look at it in its completeness and say, how's it doing? You know, how are the various elements? Are we making the kind of progress we need to make to stay healthy, to achieve the purposeful vision and so forth, the meaningful vision of the business? There's a lot of different elements of an organization, from finance to culture to, you know, recruiting to productivity to excellence, you know, kind of the quality, mm-hmm. you know, might say safety. There's a number, it depends if you're manufacturing, for example, you know, the supply chain, there's, well, arguably supply chain is involved in every business, yes. every element.
There's no way to get around
economy.
Yeah.
By the way, just finished reading, Sold out. Yes. By James Rickards. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fascinating read. Now, I will say it's mind-numbing.
I'm on the introduction, so I'm right. well by it. So. The introduction is very interesting, actually.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's got some historical stuff in there.
I had to read it on audio, finally. I got through a couple chapters. It's not that big of a book, as a side note to supply chain, but it's important. It's a great read.
Yeah.
And I would highly suggest reading it to our listeners, watchers, and listeners. Now, I will say, if you listen to the audio version, this is no slight of Jim Rickards. This source, the material is mind-numbing. Understanding it is mind-numbing. It's very academic. It's a very economist. It's an economic deep... He probably wouldn't even call it a deep dive. I thought it was a deep dive for me. It went about 12 inches into the economy, you know, from the surface. And I'm like, get me out of here. I can't, you know, I'm drowning. But it was very good. I learned a lot. He went over a number of some of the economist basic terms like M1, M2, GDP, velocity. Couple other major terms, inflation, deflation, covered that ad nauseum, stagflation. Oh, there was another one. That was a new term about there's a way where inflation drops as inflation is dropping, but you still have inflation, but you feel like it's gone away. But there's a word for that.
Ghostflation?
No.
I just made that up.
That was it.
No, that's not it? All right.
So
I think it sounds cool, though.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. So
that
being said, you know, we need to look at our business from a high level, from a macro,
right,
big headline kind of level. And supply chain is one of those areas we got to think about,
right,
with the business. And Jim Rickards in Sold Out really defines supply chain as economy.
Mm-hmm.
Says the economy can be, the term the economy
mm-hmm.
is, can be replaced with the term supply chain. So he just kind of conflates those two terms and mm-hmm. uses them interchangeably, which is really interesting. I hadn't thought of that that way. But we want to look at our business from the various elements, supply chain being one of them. Facilities, could be obviously sales, marketing,
mm-hmm.
You know, are we from a financial side, how are we doing with savings? How are we doing with debt? How are we doing with, you know, profit? How are we doing with, investing, reinvesting back into the business? What are the boxes we're trying to check with this business,
mm-hmm.
and did we? So that's the point of this whole kind of putting a bow on the end of the year. You could also put a bow on the quarter. You can put a bow on the month.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
Because,
well, ask away.
Well, you know, these tools we're talking about at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that a lot of companies, if we're lucky, might do this once a year. Not to this
if
extent.
If they were lucky.
Yeah.
I would say, well, from my perspective, and I'm working with 20 great companies,
mm-hmm.
I have to talk them, pretty much all of them, into doing this. It may talk them into it a little strong.
Well,
I have to suggest it, and it's kind, and then facilitate it,
right?
Which is why we're here. But it's a novel practice. It's not a novel idea for the client, but the client really thinks they should put a bow on the year and look at all these, but they just don't know how to do it.
No, and so what they end up doing is you look at your revenue. Did we have anything left over? And, oh, shoot, we didn't have anything left over.
Well, there's that.
And then that's the bow.
Yes.
You're done.
Yeah.
You know, so. There's more to it than that.
Yeah. No names here, but we have just lately, this is what, January, end of January,
mm-hmm.
we're filming this. But so in the last 2 months, I have a handful of clients that have a fiscal year that is not in the calendar year. And so a number of them in the end of the third quarter is the end of their fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
Handful. And so anyway, we do these annual resets somewhat throughout the year. I have a couple of clients that their kind of fiscal reset is early in the year, so end of Q1.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that I'll tee up, hey, how'd we do financially this year? And I get one of two responses. One of three. The first one is gross assumptions. That's one experience that I have as I ask a client, how did we do? And it's all these, it's either, and the assumptions are all over the map. It could be, we did great, and we did great here and great there. Or it could be, we're doing really terrible. I'm super stressed out and whatever. And it's pretty clear that they are fairly unfounded assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one big reaction. Another big reaction is deer in the headlights, which is just like, I don't know. We ought to talk about that. I mean, they know it's important,
right?
But when it comes down to talking about the truth of it, they just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they just don't know where to start. It's kind of, I don't know, futile. Like they're just like, well, we can't even figure any of this stuff out, so why do
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the impression I get as they're trying to. So that's the second reaction. First one is big, giant assumptions, strong assumptions. Second one is we're at a loss here, bro. Like, hey, how are we doing financially? Crickets, you know?
It's silence. Just, they don't know how to zoom out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they don't even know where to start.
Right.
So, and then the third reaction is mass amounts of data.
Right.
So hit the print button and 30, 40, 50 pages in, we're still printing.
Mm-hmm. No. Bring all the binders in.
Yeah, binders and P&L and QuickBooks reports and spreadsheets and, you know, flip charts and PowerPoints. And it's just like death by data. You know, that's kind of the third reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them are, I would argue, well, experientially anyway, I've seen this often. All three are either mostly or very ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not arguing with data is important and ought to be there and ought to be accurate.
But, right, absolutely.
But as far as being able to put a bow on the year, it's just there's often way, well, when somebody has data, there's way too much often. Mm-hmm. Now, I think a kind of a fourth maybe nuanced reaction is mistrust of the data. So somebody's got some information from various banks and QuickBooks files and spreadsheets and CPA printups and stuff like that, P&L and all that stuff. And they're putting it up for the team, and the team is like, I don't believe it. I don't believe that. This isn't, that's not, well, what about this? What about that? And it shoots holes in, and we end up, instead of putting a bow on the year and saying, how did we do? We end up arguing about the veracity of this data and spending hours. Well, I don't do it.
Yeah.
I try to get them to stop. And I do think, I mean, look, we got to have really accurate data. And if we're going to go down the data path, which I think somebody needs to, I'm not saying we don't need data. I'm just saying that running this business requires somebody has a handle on the data really well, but the leadership team does not need to go down the data rabbit hole. And so when we go partway down that rabbit hole, there's all these arguments about the and this mistrust. And so we end up with these gauges, quote unquote, at the front of the business that nobody trusts. And even the person that's spitting out the data is somewhat, I'm going to use the word, ambivalent about the veracity. I mean, here's all these $5 words.
Yeah.
You know, about the veracity of their data. So anyway, those are common reactions. And over, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking back over the, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 times we've done this exercise with teams in the last few months, I have had every one of those reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very few of the teams have a crisp, quick, punchy, simple, no doubt about it, BS-free statements. And I don't mean printouts, but right. Truths about, hey, how are we doing financially? Show it to me. Or write it up here on the whiteboard. You know, mm-hmm. or I'll, you tell it to me and I'll write it on the whiteboard.
That's usually what happens.
That's, yes. Yeah. And right in the midst of that, just going, hey, how much, even that right there.
Just getting that one simple piece.
Yeah. Revenue. How do we do on revenue? So there comes those reactions.
Right.
You know, and.
Well, what do you mean by revenue? I mean.
Yeah, arguments. Well, is that in? Well, are we talking cash? We talking accrual? We talking invoiced revenue? We talking, you know, what, you know, AR gets it. There's all these things get mixed in there.
I'm yeah. like,
guys, can't we just say, does anybody have any idea? I mean, well, the problem is everybody has an idea and they're all different mm-hmm. ideas.
Right.
And so we have to have some way just on the financial side to say, can we all agree on a particular measurement type and just create a vernacular around that where we say, mm-hmm. when we say revenue, we mean this. And then all of us are keying off the same. same set of information.
Right.
Yeah. I love Profit First for that reason, among it's others.
More of a cash basis.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cash flow, cash management, money coming in the front door, measuring that and using that tactically and strategically to make decisions day to day.
Because you're looking at that and the money coming in the front door, if you look at that as revenue, that's hard data. Mm-hmm. That's what came in.
Yeah, deposits.
They're deposits. It's not about AR.
Yep.
It's not about potential, like, I sold this, but I'm not going to get paid for it for 6 or 8 months.
It's just money in the bank.
It's just whatever came in.
Yep. And now, lot of wicked smart MBA, CPA types start to call BS right there. Like, well, there's a lot to measure. Yes, there is.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure, absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're trying to make decisions at the front door, right at the beginning, before you...
Yeah. With the business, we got to be able to react. We got to be able to think and act and make decisions, measure things quickly so we can decide, hey, should we sell this thing or buy this thing or fire these people or hire these people or invest in this marketplace or crack loose this software or hardware or manufacturing line or whatever. We got to be able to decide that stuff.
And being a small business, that's something that's very important. Being able to pivot quickly, make decisions quickly. That's your competitive edge.
Yeah.
For a small business.
Yeah.
And to be able to do it wisely because you have a handle on all this stuff is really important. And I think it's even more important in our current economic climb.
Yes. I think it'll become more and more obvious how essential it is. And I think that's part of what I'm seeing here is there are a number of businesses that are doing just fine, even though they're not good at making decisions. Mm-hmm. Now that when there's an economic disruption, you know, 2008, for example,
right.
COVID, for example, that disruption can wreck folks that have a wobble in their machinery.
It definitely sheds a light on stuff.
Yeah. So this tooling, this idea of putting a bow on the year, and we have four tools that we use fundamentally. We probably have a few others we use here too. Off the top of my head, we're aiming at these four. It helps to eliminate. It helps to kind of calibrate. Maybe is a better way to say it. Your general macro comprehensive business strategy, where you say, "All right, is this working? How did we do last year? What are we going to do this year?" And to be able to kind of, as a team, whether it's a single leader, principal, like in a smaller organization, you know, you're wearing 5 or 6 hats, 2 to 10 employees or something like that. Or a really hefty organization of 300, 400, 500, you know, employees. And to be able to, and at the 300, 400, 500, it's even more difficult to put a bow on the year because there's so much activity and there's so many people and dollars and so forth. So that's what we're trying to do here is put a bow in the year. Now, we have a hard time doing it. So these exercises, and you can do all four of these in one session. I've done all four of them in a half day session with leadership team. Now it takes some fast footwork as a facilitator to be able to pull off 3 or 4 of these exercises in half a day. And I try to, when I'm doing let's say we're doing a 1 day debrief on the year, an annual reset, or if it's a 2 day, I will try to do these exercises. If it's a 1 day, I'll try to do two hours or so for these exercises. If it's a 2 day reset, I'll take about a half a day, 4 hours, to do these three or four of these exercises. And generally, I'll do at least two, often all four. And the four being, we covered in the last two episodes, AAR, some sort of what did we set out to do, et cetera, what are we going to do the same, what are we going to do different. Also doing the numbers, and that is specifically around large data points. We covered that in episode 31. In this one, though, there's two other tools. One of them I call the Hall of Fame, and one of them I call Broken and Smoking. So all four of these are looking at the same stuff, just from slightly different angles.
I like approaching it from a different...
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of crossover. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do one of these, and it kind of does all of them, sort of. Mm-hmm. Not really, but kind of. You know, the kind of the old saying with tools is, if you have a tool that can do a lot of things, it doesn't do anything really well. It just kind of is okay at some things and barely passable at most everything else. And
I got a wrench like that one time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's got 12 things on it and it just doesn't do anything well.
No, no.
You know, now if you, you know, a Swiss Army knife is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. It's a cool little tool.
Yeah, it does a lot of little things.
Yep.
But you try to use the scissors on there?
Yeah. It's like, you know, in a pinch, you know, you can, it's, you know, if you've got nothing else, so like, oh, okay, cool. That little saw, there's a little saw about that big. Yeah, you know, it's like, well, okay. You know.
It might take you a while.
Yeah. So same thing with the little pocket knife. I mean, the little pocket knife's good.
Yeah.
It's a little pocket knife. I mean, so it does good at being a little pocket knife. Mm-hmm. So that's a great example. But these tools are really kind of focused on a couple of specific things. So the Hall of Fame. Simply put, what we want to do with the Hall of Fame is look back over the year and say, what did we crush? You know, what is it that we really nailed last year? And the purpose of doing that is we tend to really focus on, you know, the pain. Pain is far more interesting.
It tends to be right in front of your face.
It's distracting.
Yeah.
It absorbs our attention. Yeah. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. And we forget what we nailed. And right now we're working hard on a bunch of stuff in the business, a business. And you want to be able to say, well, did we nail that? Like, mm-hmm. we're working hard on it. Well, what came of it? What, mm-hmm. What happened? And that's easy to think about in the moment and say, all right, we're in the middle of this big project right now. We're going to try to get it done by March. Great. Well, when October comes around, we'll have forgotten all about that, or it will have drifted so far back in the rearview mirror that we don't have an ability to kind of say, was that worth it? Did mm-hmm. that project we did January, February, March, was it valuable for the business? Is it still valuable? Are we going to leapfrog off of that? Mm-hmm. Are we going to kind of tack on to it? Are we going to use it to bring us into another thing and another thing? And if it was a big win, it's hard to remember because we're in the middle of trauma in October when we were trying to win in March. So we're looking back over the year and saying, what did we nail last year? Now, when I do this facilitation of this, it always starts off slow.
It's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they have a couple things pop out, it kind of gains a little momentum, and next thing you know, they start getting excited because they're starting to remember all the cool things that happened over the past year.
That's right,
and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So we can say big wins. I'll tee this up as, hey, big wins. Did we have any big wins with staff? Did we hire somebody epic last year? Big win. Did we fire somebody? Epic.
They really needed to go.
Everybody's like, oh, they kind of chuckle. But it's like, well, it took a lot of energy to work up the courage or gusto or whatever to finally end our relationship with that person. Did we? Now, you know, who did we let go last year that were like, well, that was a big win.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It could be acquisition of various software, hardware, property, equipment, vehicles, facility stuff. It could be, you know, process or funding acquisitions. We got that grant. We got that, you know, I don't know, we sold that thing and got this money, or, you know, got this big bonus, you know, windfall of some sort. It could be also around, specifically around process. Hey, we finally figured out that recruiting process. We finally figured out that one quality issue, and we haven't had to deal with that. We figured it out in July. It could be around specific strategies. We had that strategy last year. We implemented, you know, that marketing strategy or that sales strategy or that, you know, recruiting strategy, for instance. And that could be process too, but, you know, it could be also particular results that happen because of those strategies that we tied into last year. Now, one of the takeaways from doing this is the team often realizes they don't keep track of this stuff.
Right.
They don't pay. They don't have a place where they say, "Well, doggone, we just crushed that thing," and it's, you know, July, and so let's write it down somewhere. You know, on this date, July 2nd or whatever, we crushed that thing. You know, and they don't have a place where they drop these this landing spot now.
And they see how valuable it is to remember.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Now, I will say, in a coming episode, we're going to talk about really one of our fundamental processes here. Those business coaches out there listening to this could probably rip it off, I guess. You know, but hey, whatever.
We're cool.
We're still awesome.
Yeah.
And we call this the hierarchy of the few. And inside of this process, it's a rigid, well, that's rigid. It's a fully developed framework, is a better way to put it. And inside of this framework, we see month in and month out what we crushed.
Yep.
And so sometimes with some of my more, I would say, mature clients that are more mature in their operating system of how to run their business, they will reach into that vault of here's what we nailed through the year, and they'll just start pulling that out of there. And it's already colored. It's already in there. It's already obvious. And it's like a love fest at that point. You know, the room is just get pumped. Now, there's a really important reason to do this, because we're coming into the next year. We want to come into it with some vigor, you know, and some... Yeah.
Some excitement.
Know, go from win to win, right? Like, we're going to crush this year. So so that's the Hall of Fame. We're just trying to say, hey, what was awesome last year? Now, the way I facilitate this is I take either a blank whiteboard, empty whiteboard of some size, you know. And all my whiteboards, I don't know what I have, 4 in my session, 4 pretty big ones. And they're probably 5 by 6 or 7 or something. I mean, they're much bigger than 4 feet. They're like 5 or 6 feet each. Pretty sizable. And so we'll generally fill up a whole whiteboard. So I'll put in the middle of that. And you could do this with a flip chart. You could also do it at a coffee shop. With a sheet of paper, you know, and those of you that are watching this, you know, I got a sheet of paper there. You get to take a blank sheet of legal pad or something like that, and you take and write right in the middle of the paper the year or fiscal year, whatever, 2022, for example, and put a box around it. And then you just go. You just free form. You just start talking and poking and remembering, and as you come up with something, you literally just write it on the page anywhere.
Not like a bullet list.
Nope.
Just
it's free form.
Anywhere on the page.
We call it non-linear.
Yes.
Right. It's just gathering around the central theme, orbiting around the central theme. The big truths, the big bullet points. And that's all we're after is 4, 5, 6 word bullet points. You know, fired Bob, hired Bob.
And then fired
them. Right. Well, so put a pin in that. I want to come back to that. That's an important point. There's an important value to these year over year.
Right.
And that's one of them right there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how you do it, and it takes about an hour. After about an hour, everybody kind of runs out of ideas, but it helps at the beginning of this to have a list of the business fundamentals, mm-hmm. the fundamental components of the business.
Right.
You know, so we got a payroll, we got a finance, we got a HR component, we got a legal component, we got a facilities component, we got sales and marketing and, you know, operations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What are all the basic components? Meetings, strategies, et cetera. If you were to take and say, what are the 47 things that are ways to pull apart a business? You know, so if you pull apart a human, which isn't, you know, just from a physiological standpoint, well, we got the, you know, the various organs and the various systems, you know, nervous system, digestive system, all that, right? Mm-hmm. That's all we're trying to do with the business. What are the various systems, components of a business? So it helps to have those in a list, 10, 12, 14, perhaps, just on the side, and then say, okay, folks, let's look for wins in any of these areas.
Right.
Client base, all right, did we have any big client wins? Did we have any big regulatory wins? Legal, maybe it could be compliance. If you're a high compliance type business like insurance or law or, you know, financial, like CPA, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Compliance is a big deal. Architects, engineers, you know, medical, they all have significant compliance components of the business that they ignore to their peril, right? They go out of business, get sued, whatever. So,
Like safety.
Yeah, safety, sure. That could be huge. And manufacturing is a big deal.
Inventory.
Inventory. Yeah. That's a huge component.
Yeah.
That's right, especially in retail.
Right.
So, supply chain could be part of it. Could cash and the finance, you know, how much cash have we got, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, writing up all those components and then hunting in those subject areas for big wins. It helps to kind of get people to focus. So, once you do that, yeah, just take a picture of the thing. Whether it's a flip chart, I like the flip chart. I end up always running out of room and writing smaller and smaller on a flip chart.
Bullet points,
yeah. And I'll draw little circles. I'll end up circling each bullet point because invariably I need to start shoving new bullet points in and around the margins. And it becomes just like a dump of stuff. And every time we stand back and look at this thing and go, we had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all this stuff we get. And every team is always wowed by what they got done last year.
Yeah.
So that's the Hall of Fame. Now, as a side note, one of the, if you do this multiple years running, there's this benefit, which is, you get out the Hall of Fame from the year before and the year before and the year before. Now, I have a handful of clients that I think we've done. I don't know. I've only been doing this tool for maybe 4 or 5 years, maybe. And I have clients I've worked with longer than that, but I haven't been doing that tool that long. And some clients, you know, I haven't done that tool with for some reason or another. But 4 or 5 clients, I was able to this year pull out like 4 or 5 or 3 or 2 Hall of Fame photos.
From past years.
From the past.
Yep.
And every time they're like, oh my gosh, look what we, oh, that's when we got that done. That was back in 19 or 18 or 20. And then every time there's somebody that they thought was a huge win or something. Often it's somebody.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, I don't know. Let's say they don't have a VP of ops and they figure out through our work together that it's time or how to or when to or what it looks like to hire a VP of ops, which sounds really elementary when you talk about it like that. But when you're in the weeds fighting away and on the business, nothing's elementary. Mm-hmm. Everything is earth-shattering when you figure it out. So they finally figure out, oh, we need this VP of ops, let's say. COO, whatever you want to call it. And they hire somebody. And that's a big win. And then the following year, the big win is they fired them. You know? Yeah, and so there's this like, oh, there's this epiphany.
Yeah.
Right? It's happened. Shoot. I'm thinking of three or four times.
Yeah, I am too.
That I can say off the top of my head. And there, so there's this deeper kind of value where they go, you know, we aren't really good at recruiting, interviewing, deciding how, if somebody fits or not early.
That's the big part.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it helps them to go, oh man, we, or, hey, wow, back when we hired that guy that we thought we nailed, we didn't have that great recruiting and interviewing and onboarding, whatever, clarity, accountability process, measurement process. Mm. And now we do.
Right.
Like we, if we would have tried to hire that guy then, not like now, we wouldn't have hired him.
Right.
Like we would have smoked out whether he was right for us or not.
Right.
You know, and that ends up going, oh man, we're getting real good at running this business, you know, and that becomes a value add. So, and who knows what epiphanies you find in that, but there's always a few big ones that come out. So that is the Hall of Fame. Now, once you do it, take a photo of it and file it somewhere golden, file it somewhere really valuable. And the place where you keep your business code, like here's how we run our business, for instance, playbook or something like that. We keep all our stuff in Trello. At some point, we should do a episode on Trello.
Yeah.
As far as a operating system for a business, how to use it to run your business. But we park this thing somewhere and then pull it up following the year. Now, when we do our work with clients, you know this. I'm just telling you because we're on a podcast. You know, Shane's like, I know, I'm the one who does it. Yeah. So filing this stuff away and then printing it all off, you know, working with a business coach, a good business coach, this is one of the reasons to work with a good business coach is they're helping you to gather all this stuff and to see how important it is and keep at it year after year. It is not, it should not be a one and done situation to work with a coach. Mm. You need to find a coach that's really willing to stick with you for the distance, you know? And this is one of the reasons, because there's a lot of tooling that is multi-year, that multi-effect, success, or where we're measuring the improvement year over year of a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. And if you're just doing a one-and-done situation, 6 months or whatever, it's hard to see that. Also, if you're working with a quote coach or a quote implementer, and they are a facilitator of a particular system, not so much invested in your success, but more invested in the system that they facilitate, I think some of this, some of the value goes away. I think it's more important to have somebody that, not that it's bad that they're invested in a system, but they need to be more invested in you as a client than they are in the system. The system is there for the client, not for the benefit of the coach. However, if the coach is deeply invested in the system, it benefits the coach. But this is where I kind of look a little sideways at some of the hard membership-based facilitation systems because it can confuse the loyalty of the coach. The coach has to be all in on the client's success. So not that systems are bad. Systems are great. The systems are wonderful for moving a client, a business forward. So anyway, the year over year component is really powerful. So there we go. Hall of Fame. Any thoughts about that one or observations about anything, anything different? You know, one of the things you can do is, colors. You can pull colors into this, although that kind of is overthinking it a little bit, but,
well, there was one other thing. One of our clients would look just this past month. when we were doing this exercise, they saw something that was a major accomplishment the year before, but or 2 years ago, and they're looking at that and like, wow, we've that's kind of like a small thing now.
Oh, yeah.
But back then, it was huge.
That's right.
And so that in of itself is just like, wow, we've really come a long way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's another benefit of doing this.
Yeah, it's almost like they're like, oh, isn't it cute that they thought that was such a big deal 3 years ago?
And it's not to make it trite. I mean, back then, you know, 2 years ago or whatever, it was it was a huge issue.
Yeah,
it was a huge thing.
Sure.
But they've grown so much now that they can look back at that and like, wow.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's revenue, but a lot of times it's maturity of how they run the business.
Absolutely.
With tools and processes and so forth. That's great. Yeah, that's a great point. So this other tool, Broken and Smoking.
This is Lodestone proprietary. This
is, so is Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So is AAR, the way we do it, and the way we do the numbers, I suppose. But anyway, Hall of Fame especially. Big shout out to Richard Palmer Smith, RPS, I call him. We should send this to him. Richard Palmer Smith is a great business coach out of Denver, Colorado, and I was a part of a group, Pinnacle, that he also is a part of. And he pointed out at one quarterly, and he works with a ton of clients like we do and others do, and he was like, this is a game changer of a tool. And he's like, shout out to Mark Whitmore's Hall of Fame tool. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I think I had showed it to him, I don't know, over a coffee or at the bar or something before or after this quarterly seminar. And he just grabbed onto it and ran with it. And he's had a lot of great results.
That's fantastic.
With his clients. Good. So big shout out to Richard Palmer Smith for a big shout out to me. That was really fun. That was really fun that somebody with some serious caliber likes this tool and uses it a lot. Now, Broken or Smoking is another facilitation trick or facilitation exercise, maybe. It's the right way to say that. And all we're doing in Broken or Smoking, Broken and Smoking, is taking a good, wide look, comprehensive look. Okay, again, comprehensive meaning complete, where we want to go all the way around the business, not look at just part of it. We want to look at all of the elements, and we want to understand the business. And this is all from your definition earlier around comprehensive. So we take and walk around the business, and we have two sheets of paper or two sections of the whiteboard. And I do this in two colors, broken in one color, put a circle or a box around it. Often I do red. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's a cultural thing, probably.
Red, and then red, I do green or blue or something. You could do black, whatever. Just not yellow. Yellow's hard to see on the whiteboard. And orange, for some reason, does not erase very well.
Neither does that dark blue.
That
neither here nor there.
So two sections of the whiteboard, broken, put a box around it. Use one color for broken, and then smoking. Put a box around it, use a different color. And all we're trying to say now is, all right, what about the business needs fixed? You know, and this is kind of like, you could think of this as, for instance, if you were on the market, in the market for a new house, and you wandered into a house and walked around, you'd be like, oh, well, that needs a little work. This is awesome. That's marginal. This is no bueno. You know, we're going to rip that out. I don't like this and this and that, but I love this, this and that, and the other thing. And you see it instantly.
Instantly. Now, if you do that on your own house, okay, I've got to sell my house.
Yes.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah. But
you, when you have to sell your house, you're going to start looking at it like, oh, all these things I've been putting up with for 10 or 15 years. I need a new floor here. The plumbing here is pretty bad.
Yeah.
This door is shot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all the stuff you've been putting up with.
Yep. But look at this all of a sudden project now, we did last year. It's great. We remodeled that bathroom and that kitchen. They're great.
This thing I did 5 years ago needs fixed again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is usually what it is.
It's your kids. Just blame it on the kids.
Or the dog.
The dog, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's definitely... It's 50-50, kids, dog, dog. You pick.
Yeah, all right.
It's not you, though, huh?
No. No, I'm not... This is not my experience, no.
Yeah, yeah. So... Now this broken and smoking. Well, and smoking is, hey, what are the things that we just are really good at? Now, again, this is where some of the crossover is. There are some things we're really good at that should be on our Hall of Fame. But what we're doing is we're just trying again have a comprehensive view, mm-hmm. a little bit of overlap with the Hall of Fame, no problem. Mm-hmm. But this Hall of Fame can tee up this next exercise, mm-hmm. and I do these right in series, you know, mm-hmm. often. I generally start off an annual meeting of some sort with the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. type exercise. Now, the way I tee that up is I'll say, hey, last year, you really crushed some things personally. Now, so in your family, in your health, in your headspace, perhaps in your you know, how you manage your time or energy or so forth, your heart, emotions, relationships. There's so many ways that you can look at yourself and say, mm-hmm. hey, what are some big personal wins? Cool. Mm-hmm. And the business is better because you did what? Yeah. You put your hands on the business and crushed it. And it's better because I nailed these three things last year, two things, five things, whatever. And that's our intro into the, it's like the check-in mm-hmm. at the beginning of a offsite, of an annual reset. And out of that, as they're starting to say what they crushed professionally, I'll have that Hall of Fame sheet or board set aside, and I'll walk over and just write that in there. And that, like, it does this, like, it's the impetus that mm-hmm. gets them rolling. Right. A lot of times I gotta stop people and say, well Bob here needs a check in. So let's hear from him. Yeah. But it gets the ball rolling. So anyway, after that I love doing a broken and smoking kind of exercise, which is to say, hey, there's some things we're really good at. Maybe we've just improved some over the year, or et cetera. And there's some things that really need some work. The challenge in facilitating this is two ways. Folks have a hard time saying what they're good at. You know, we have a hard time sitting down in a room saying, you know, I'm really talented here and here and here. And I'm fairly talented here and here. You know, we just can't talk like that. It sounds arrogant. It sounds egotistical. Mm-hmm. We're just not comfortable with it. And we don't like people that are comfortable with it. You know, we're like, hey, that guy walks in, he sits down, tells me what he's good at. Like, well, that sucks. I mean, that's kind of weird. You know, it's kind of uncomfortable.
It's not the norm.
It's not. And you can be arrogant about it. But I think, I mean, I wouldn't suggest leading with that. Like, hi, my name's Mark, and I'm great at these five things. You know, like, and you're an idiot. We're uncomfortable saying, here's what we're really good at as a business, and here's what we're not so good at. And the point is, this is, again, trying to drive comprehensive summary. Mm-hmm. Like, what the heck are we doing well, and what the heck do we need to invest in? Mm-hmm. So, again, facilitating around a box on the board and two different colors, and as the team's talking about it, you just start pounding in there. Now, a challenge here, a couple challenges. One, people don't like talking about what they're good at. But the other challenge is folks will say what's broken and then start trying to fix it.
Yes.
By complaining.
Yep.
Or by expressing themselves emotionally.
So we don't want to go to that next step.
Yeah, that's right.
Just list it.
Yes. Like, now, this is a great place for the SMAC tool. This comes later. An episode, not an episode on our podcast, later in a session with a client.
Right.
All right. So a good bit of an annual reset is, all right, let's fix some of these broken things.
And then they'll end up on your stepping stone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And how are we going to, yep,
going back to that. Rocks to fix all this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hierarchy of the few.
Absolutely.
Going back to that. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So that's a challenge as you, as you're writing down what's broken. You also another challenge, you might write down things that you can't do anything about, you know, the economy. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to do about the economy? Honestly, you know, I mean, theoretically we have something to do with the economy, but you know, once in a generation, somebody like Steve Jobs comes along mm-hmm. that has this massive impact, well, or somewhat significant impact. I mean, when you're looking at the economy, I was reading something like there's a quadrillion, that's 1,000 trillions. A trillion is 1,000 billions, and a billion is 1,000 millions. Now, I'm no mathematician, right?
That's true.
That is true. But that's a big frickin' number. And there's like a quadrillion. I think that's the value of the economy, the worldwide economy, or something like that. In kind of current dollars. Maybe it was in that supply chain book. I don't remember where I heard that. But, you know, I mean, Apple has kicked butt for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's not a quadrillion, no. You know? Uh-uh. And, yeah, maybe it's this little pebble that starts the avalanche. Maybe. I don't know. But still, we're no Apple. Now, my clients aren't any Apple, you know? I don't know any Apples. Even somebody like Amazon or something, they could go out of business next year. Mm-hmm. Walmart could go belly up, you know. Kmart was a major game changer. Kmart figured out some stuff that completely rocked retail, mm-hmm. and they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, Apple was almost gone. Different times,
very close.
Very close. So there's a lot of volatility. But the point is, folks, start putting big generic things in the broken section. It's like, you can't do anything about that. This isn't a gripe session. This is just looking at the business and saying, you know, what are we going to do about it? What are some things we ought to fix? Now, so imagine sitting around.
But we're not going to fix it right this minute.
That's right. Imagine sitting around going, I want to buy a house. Okay, we're walking around, going to neighborhoods, and then you go, well, if we buy this house, is it going to help with world hunger? Like, I don't know. I mean, we have lost our way.
You buy some chickens.
Yeah. I suppose. Yeah. So you can say, well, we got these solar panels and maybe we're, I don't know, blah, blah, blah.
I've got my own supply chain for eggs. Greeny,
weeny. Yes. So there you go. You do have a supply chain for eggs?
No, I was just saying if I bought some chickens, I would.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Well, I'm chuckling because there two of my kids both have a bunch of chickens and we have our own supply chain of eggs.
Well, if you have any extras, I'll be open.
Yeah. So. You should talk to Samantha.
I will.
So anyway, there you go. So that's broken to smoking. Now you just, you can run through both these exercises in 2 hours. If it takes you longer than an hour, each one, you're overthinking it.
And
you're trying too hard.
You're not reeling in the griping.
That's right. Yeah. Something's which happened. Is a really tough, that's yeah. a tough part.
Right. I agree.
Now we've done this with our business,
yeah.
and had some major epiphanies. Mm-hmm. This is a cheap epiphany. This is one of those, you know, easy epiphanies. It doesn't take much. Takes a couple hours to go, oh, wow, look at this.
It takes a few hours of just mm-hmm. thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So one of the things that I say to my clients when they get to the leadership team level, this is true of any business that's, you know, 10, I would say more than 10 employees, but much more true. The bigger it is, the more true this is. But when you're on a leadership team, you know, CFO, COO, CEO, blah, 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 your day job really, when you boil it down, is thinking and mm-hmm. talking,
yeah.
thinking and talking. Like that's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And when I peg a client with that and say, hey, why are you so uncomfortable with thinking and talking? This is how you make a living. You ought to, you know, it's like a skier not liking cold weather. You know, it's like a swimmer saying, I just don't like getting wet, you know. It's like, well, that's a real unfortunate professional hiccup. You know what I mean? Right.
Well, you know, when a person is going from just doing all the work to having to thinking and talking, they're going from one state of, to another. What's that word I'm looking for?
Transcending?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
That's part of the issue, is that they're kind of stuck in one way of doing things.
Yeah.
And they have to kind of change.
Yeah. Also, I call it, you know, getting out of the weeds. I mean, they're just not, they have a narrow, close view. And if they're not able to do this kind of work, which is, you know, I'd say elevate a little bit to get a more high level view, I poke at them a little bit and say, hey, you may be in the wrong seat. This seat here requires somebody who has a talent at thinking and talking. And that is around these exercises, going, huh, well, we nailed this, nailed that, we need to fix this, need to fix that. That's thinking.
Yeah.
Talking is being able to put a rein on your tongue here and going, yeah, I'm not going to complain about this thing right now because it doesn't help anything. I'm not going to allow my emotions to run wild here out of frustration over this supply chain thing, for example, or that one guy who still breaks everything, perhaps, because it's not going to fix anything. And that's not what we're doing right now. Right now, we're just taking stock. We're just rolling through and taking inventory of what's broken and what's really great here. We can't fix anything if we can't write down what to fix, you know?
It sounds so simple, but it's huge.
Yep. And that comes down to facilitation. It is really hard to self-facilitate, regardless of the type of organization. Even with my family stuff, there are many times that we're having a big conversation with multiple kids and my wife there, and we're trying to iron out something or figure something out. And, you know, and I'm a darn good facilitator, I think.
I'm good at it.
I see, even saying that, I was like, well, this is uncomfortable.
That's why I'm laughing. I was
like, iffy. But I am. I think I am. My clients think I am.
Gosh darn it.
Thanks. Gee, Wally.
And people like me.
Yeah. So, but in these conversations, they'll go for 2 hours, and I don't say much. It's hard to facilitate. I can't, like, get in there and facilitate it. And it's uncomfortable for everybody. And so when you're a member of the team, self-facilitation is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It's just not a good idea. It's rare that it works well. I've seen a few people do okay at it. But so that's one of the takeaways. Now, so tying this into doing the numbers, our last episode, some of the quote numbers will be on the Hall of Fame. You know, there's some crossover.
Right.
Some of the, you know, some of the cash numbers, some of the people numbers, some of the, you know, client volume numbers, or some of the, you know, retention around staff, or recruiting numbers around staff, or reviews on marketing, or clicks, or likes, or shares, or whatever stuff, a marketing strategy. Those may be on the Hall of Fame. They also may be on your doing the numbers kind of template. So that's okay. AAR, we're kind of going, all right, so how did that go last year? And that's part kind of broken and smoking, and it went away. Although with AAR, we're looking at trying to tie together inputs and outputs very directly.
Right.
Say, hey, we spent a bunch of blah, blah, blah on XYZ.
So much time.
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, and there's
the results.
We're tying direct
correlation
between inputs and outputs. Right. That's not really what's happened with broken and smoking. Broken and smoking is a little more general.
Yeah.
It's a little more like free fire. Who's, you know, what do you got? Just throw it up here on the board. This exercise, broken and smoking specifically, is really meant to kind of tee up So what should we be trying to solve this year?
Right.
You know, what are, hey, this thing here, our marketing system's broken. You know, our sales is smoking, but we don't get enough leads, or we don't have branding correct, or whatever. The marketing's not driving leads to sales. Okay, well, so maybe this year we should fix marketing. You know, and it helps you to focus, helps you to get mm-hmm. your kind of dial in on the four or five things we're going to nail this year. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to the Hall of Fame, one of the keys is you want to say, hey, if we're sitting here next year, what do you want to be up on this sheet of paper? Mm-hmm. When we do the 2023 Hall of Fame, wouldn't it be nice if we fix this and fix that and we've nailed that? And then it ties back to broken or smoking. Like, right. Oh, okay.
Right.
So is this broken? So I'll ask them in that Hall of Fame, hey, what do you want to be here next year? Well, that could be awesome next year if we were talking about how that thing was way better. Okay, was it bad now? Yeah. So I'll go over to broken, yeah. Put it on the broken yeah. chart. And it helps to just unpack some things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
there you go. Now, a little example, kind of where I don't know, I guess where I figured out that this ought to be a tool or process in a client session is I was having a very robust conversation with my wife about, and this is, when was this? 2020, January 2020.
Ooh.
And we had hit what I set out as our land of awesome. And we'd just hit it. And we'd worked really hard, a bunch of stuff over the years. Over at that period of time, really from when I start kind of put a pin in, this is what awesome would be. It was about 5 years mm-hmm. to kind of go, wouldn't that be awesome if these four things are true mm-hmm. or whatever? Well, we hit it in January 20. And kind of the way, and this is very particular, I tend to be very macro and very strategic and very kind of like big picture. So much so I have a hard time getting things done because, always at that higher level. Yeah. So I need to kind of like take time, just get down in the weeds and work.
Mm-hmm.
Happily, my work is strategic, you know, so it's a great fit.
You lucked out there.
I did luck out. but we were having this big conversation, and it was apparent that she was very in the moment yeah. of the current stressors, the current challenges, struggles, whatever. And you know, I said, you know, look, we've done a lot of great things in the last 5 or 10 years or so.
Right.
And specifically last few years. And I kind of was like, you know, like we nailed some stuff. And I have a picture of this as I was at home in my office. I have a big whiteboard, a 4x8 whiteboard. And I just kind of was
can
like,
let me put a pin. Wait a second. You have a whiteboard in your house.
Dude, I have one in my bed.
No, I think that's fantastic.
It's in my, yes. I have a 4x8, and I have flip charts floating around. And the kids.
All over your house.
Yeah, the kids will come rolling
sometimes
in.
Sometimes that's for art.
But, well, yeah. But the kids will come rolling in, and we're like, Dad, can you help me figure out blah, blah, blah with this job, or blah, blah, blah with this my money, or blah, blah, blah with this cool thing I'm trying to do with mm-hmm. some hobby or some endeavor? Like, well, let's get out a flip chart, you know, and it just flows right into that. So yes, I have a big whiteboard in my office at home. So we're talking, and down in the corner, I just segregated this whole corner and said, things we nailed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was like the first thing, I'm like, well, we haven't gotten divorced. You know, that took a lot of work. You know, we crushed it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to keep crushing it.
Right.
I mean, you can't just give, you know, that's not a one and done.
I was just going to say that.
But the point was like, hey, let's look at what we've actually nailed here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go from win to win. Instead of constantly being under this burden of what's wrong, what's busted, what needs fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And those are important things to focus on.
Right.
But we're fixing them so that we can be better. And if we're always thinking about the things that are busted, that's exhausting. And I think unhealthy, arguably. We've got to take some healthy time to look at and remember what we really did good work at. So that when we're putting our effort in right now, we're going to get somewhere and own those victories and have a bit of a celebration. A great book by a guy named Daniel Lappin, Rabbi Daniel Lappin.
Yeah.
My son Caleb's reading it right now. He's like, Dad, did you ever hear of this book? Blah, blah, blah. And I gave it to him. I know I gave it to him. So I'm like, well, yeah, I have heard of that. It's called I think it's called Thou Shalt Prosper.
Yes. Yeah.
And he kind of takes... he has these, like, I think it's 10. I think he used like the 10 commandments, formula, if you will, framework. And he has these 10 reasons, ways to prosper. And he uses the kind of classic Jewish culture to, as a, example. And he just says, here's why, in his opinion, the Jewish culture flourishes because of this particular thing or that particular thing. And one of the particular things, if I remember right, was that they have a practice of reflecting over, so the Sabbath, the whole idea of the Sabbath, at least from a traditional Jewish perspective, is to look back over the week and say, it was a good week. We had a good week. The week is over now. And that's what they do well, especially more the practicing Orthodox type Jews. And they kind of go, what week did we have? What was good about the week? And then they rest. They have a day of rest where they just reflect. They don't work. They kind of just reflect backwards and say, the week was good. What about it was good? And they're not thinking about or trying to, at least as far as the way it's supposed to work, the Sabbath kind of reflection, is to say, well, what did we nail this week? What was good about it? You know, and he makes the argument in this book that that's one of the reasons that there's a lot of flourishing going on in their community. You know, another one is that they, and we can get into this in another session, I'd love to, another episode, is that they ceremonially welcome their children into the culture.
Yeah.
You know, they have a clear point where you say, you are one of us now, you know, and that has a huge psychological impact. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's some ways it could be weird and tacky and who knows what, and you could do it really well or you could do it really badly. I mean, there's all kinds of truths there, but he makes the case that that's one of the reasons that their culture, in spite of thousands of years of criticism and violence against them and so forth, so on, and prejudice, etc., they've managed to hold on to their culture for so long. That's really fascinating. It's a really fascinating read. I really suggest folks read that. Thou Shalt Prosper, Daniel Lappin. So there you go. So there we have four great tools for a leadership team. Doing the numbers, AAR, Hall of Fame, and Broken and Smoking. Now here at Lodestone True North, obviously we're helping our clients go from broken to smoking, right? And we're doing a great job of it, I must say. Yeah.
You're really good at this, Merc.
Thank you. So are you. You're crushing it. So there we go. That is episode 33 in the can. Talking about how to put a bow on the year and set yourself up to have a good year coming and be able to really kind of get the most out of your investment in the business and decide, is the juice worth the squeeze in this business?
Right.
And then figure out where to aim more juice so you get, aim more squeeze so you get more juice. I guess that's the way to put it, right? Yeah. So 033 is in the can. It's great. It was a lot of fun today, Shane.
Good job.
Look forward to 34.
All right. Same here, bud.